Hey everyone, welcome back. It's a big episode of We Watch Stuff. This is number 25. This is Jeremy and Shahid, and we took last week off, didn't we?
That is correct.
All right, yeah, because somebody was taking those stroke shifts, so getting that extra money.
Hey, like I said, I couldn't sell something like George Lucas, so I had to work overnight.
Ooh.
Or evening, thank God, not overnight, so almost just as bad.
Yeah, almost, but not quite. I don't know. I got to figure your clientele is probably a little bit different on the overnight shift.
Overnight, maybe. I basically work with the people that are too antisocial to work with people during the daytime. So that should tell you something.
Yes. And, yeah. And you're in Texas, too, so that could be even better. But yeah. We got a lot. You know, for a change, let's just jump right into something. Before the storm of the century apparently hits, even though it's now sunny outside. So I'm pretty sure I'm in the eye of the tornado right now. So, this wasn't on the agenda, but have you seen that movie Into the Storm?
Yeah, I was in the movie theater. I told you about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
How'd you like it?
I was surprised you liked it a lot more than I thought I would, all things considering.
Same here. I watched it Saturday. Is it a good movie? No. But the special effects were pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's like the marker of a good movie now or not. I mean, the story is what it is. At least they didn't dick around. You had your cliche drama. You had your kids mad at his dad. I guess the mom was dead. They never explained where the mom was. They're having a high school graduation on a school day in the middle of the day, apparently. I was kind of confused by that one as well. And then you've got your storm chasers that aren't like total douchebags like the Twister guys were. And then chaos ensues and the movie ends.
It's like 90-something minutes. It gets in, it gets out.
No, you're being generous. That was 87 minutes with credits. You're looking at maybe 80 minutes of movie.
Well, we always complain about movies being too long, so can't make that complaint with that one.
No. But yeah, no, I didn't mind it. I mean, I'm glad I didn't see it in a theater.
Yeah, like, I saw it in a theater.
Yeah.
It was lovely. I think that came out when nothing else was out during that time. And now, like, I remember seeing the previews. I'm like, the special effects look nice. It's probably one of those cheesy, you know, trumped up sci-fi movies. And of course, you know, everyone's favorite character from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, good old Lori. I don't even know the actress's name. Probably should, but it's like Lori Grimes.
Sarah something. I can't remember either.
Yeah, just something.
Just
mentioned Storm. I forgot I was going to hit you up Saturday and ask. I couldn't remember if you'd seen it or not. I know my mom did, and she liked it, but that should pretty much tell you it's a bad movie. So. But anyways, let's get into the big story. Which I don't know which is the biggest story, but it was a huge week for sit around and wait movie trailers.
Yeah, and let's make sure we do this better than that other show who tried to steal our thunder, so to speak.
Okay, I did not listen to it yet. I will set a reminder. Oh, my phone's not next to me. Oh, yes, it is. I will set a reminder on my phone for tomorrow at work to listen to the latest OPA audio here on Stunt Granny. Because apparently Ken and Kevin tried talking about Star Wars.
That's what you call it. Being generous. It wasn't like, you know, they knew just enough that kind of you, it probably would irk you more than it irked me. And I should leave it at that because I know how much you care about Star Wars. So it's kind of like when you get little things wrong and the average person is kind of like, hey, what's the big deal? But if you're somebody that's into it, you're like, these assholes doing.
Oh, boy. All right. Yeah, because I know I already got on them for the one show where they were talking about a crossover movie with Green Lantern and Guardians of the Galaxy, and I was losing my mind on the other end of the computer, on the other end of the audio file. I got so annoyed with them that I actually bought them, I bought Kevin, two encyclopedias for the Marvel Universe books for Christmas. And when he got them, he's like, thanks for the books. I was like, yeah, now make sure and read them. And I know they did a segment taking the most obscure, dumb characters that they could find in a book just to ridicule it. And I'm like, you dicks. So I'm sure it's collecting dust in somebody's basement now, waiting for another show. Or until The Avengers comes out in a few weeks. Or Ant-Man. Or I don't know what else is coming out from Marvel.
Since we're talking about movies, TVs, and you said we're going to start off with something, I'm going to knock it out in a minute. So we're going to talk about Fast 7.
Yeah.
Now, we both thought it was going to do well because, like, you know, it had a month head start. You know, Paul Walker passed away and it's built up momentum. I don't think either one of us would have thought it would do this well, as in, like, fastest movie to hit 1 billion well. Ever.
Yeah, globally, it's the first movie to hit $1 billion the fastest.
Wow. Yeah. With no 3D, sir, no 3D upcharges either. So
yeah, all right. I don't think that can be overstated enough. There wasn't, because there was an IMAX showing, and just the IMAX here, I think, was $18 or $19 a ticket. And I was like, no, I'm going to go to a different theater and watch that then, because I understand the action pieces probably were going to be way better in IMAX, but it wasn't shot in IMAX, so it didn't really make a lot of sense to see it. Because I don't know if you've ever noticed, when you go to an IMAX movie that doesn't have IMAX framing, or IMAX film stock, whatever, that it doesn't take up the whole screen. You're just watching on the big screen thinking, oh, what could have been? So I figured I'd save the extra money and just go see it in a regular theater.
I know a lot of people went to see it in IMAX. I was going to, but I was like, I don't feel like driving an hour just to see it next time. But it's just kind of, it made what the last movie made in a week and a half. That's amazing, just thinking about that. Like,
so, wait a minute. It made $1 billion in
it made
10 days?
It made, no, 15 days.
Okay,
the last one made, like, $780 million worldwide in, like, 3 months.
Okay, sorry.
It hit
that
number by, like, the second week it was out.
That's incredible. For a movie, that's what I meant to look this up earlier. I want to see what the first Fast and the Furious budget was.
I think $40 million. I'm guessing, because I've been thinking about that. That's going to be my rough guess. I remember reading it somewhere.
Someone's trying to say it had a budget of $759 million. No. As much as we can complain about these things, that would not be correct.
Hey, I think that's somebody missed a digit somewhere.
Yes, I'm thinking. I'm at the Wikipedia page and this ain't saying anything.
I mean, that's the total. That's probably for all the movies.
Yeah, that's what I would think too. Okay. Let's see. Oh, budget was $38 million for the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then $76 million for Too Fast, Too Furious. $85 million for Tokyo Drift. $85 million for Fast and Furious. $125 million, and this is million, just to make sure, for Fast 5, $160 million for Furious 6, and then Furious 7 was $190 million. So they've already made the budget of all these movies back in 15 days. I mean, combined budget of all those movies was $759 million, which I guess is where they got that from. This franchise so far has racked up $3.5 billion.
Yeah, and that's probably, and most of that's probably from movies four forward, more or less.
Yeah, Fast and Furious, which is actually number 4, was the highest grossing. It was at $363 million. And then apparently people realize how batshit crazy these movies have gotten, because Fast 5 made $626 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then $788 million for Furious 6. And then when you think the action could get any more ridiculous, you've got a $1.152 billion box office.
Yeah, like we always joke about how, you know, this is a Marvel franchise.
Yeah,
the only Marvel movies that make this is like was the Avengers. and that's it. Like, that's a short ass list. So.
Okay, so in comparison between the two, like the Marvel movies, I don't know, they've got their phase one, phase two. I don't think the Marvel movies combined have made this much money worldwide. And this is with no evidence.
Because if you combine like the Avengers and Iron Man 3, you're probably at like close to 2.5 just from those two movies.
That's crazy to me. I did not enjoy Iron Man 3 at all.
Iron Man 3 is polarized. I know people either like that movie a lot or cannot stand it. I liked it a lot, but I know a lot of people whose opinions I like cannot stand that movie one bit. So.
I only saw it the one time, so I guess it would beg another viewing to see if I like it any differently. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, that's just crazy, though. I mean, I don't know how. All right. I think we started talking about this when we stopped. They have to make another one now, right?
I mean, we're talking about by the time it's done, it might make, what, a billion seven of, like, Harry Potter, you know, numbers. Like, you can't not make a movie. Like, you're talking about, you know, before it went from, you know, the cute franchise, oh, is this so crazy, so dumb fun, to, no. Like, this last movie, like, it's Rotten Tomatoes rankings is, like, in the 80s. And it's making what it's making. You can't just walk, and there's no reason not to make another one.
Yeah. Well, there is a reason, I guess. I mean, because the band's not totally together anymore. I mean, you know, they clearly wrote off Paul Walker. I didn't think of this before. Jordana Brewster, she's written out of these movies, too. There goes her cash cow.
Well, she's been, since the fifth one, she's been kind of... Well, this one and the last one, she kind of been on the sideline. The sixth one, she barely did anything, and that one either. Yeah. So, what would she do? It's kind of the whole thing where you can have a maximum of two girls, and if you have more than two, somebody's going to push the weight on the wayside. Like, I was kind of looking at it, like, Fast Five and Fast Six, you had, like, five or six females. All kind of, you know, what's Jordana Brewster going to do except for look sad and talk about... At least the fifth one, she can say, "Oh, turn right on, you know, Rio Drive. Avoid these cops. You know, make this left here." But what else? What is she gonna do?
Yeah, well, it's all right. If you want to compare to the Avengers, it's kind of like the Iron Man War Machine thing. You can't have more than one. So you know, War Machine pops up here and there, but it's like, all right, well, you're not as good as the original. And with Jordana Brewster, I mean, that Ramsey chick basically took her spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, in this one, they barely even bothered, which we didn't even talk about. They didn't even bother to explain why she was in the Dominican Republic. Like, why is she at this house? I mean,
okay. The guy's house that they were at was an original Fast and Furious.
Wow.
He was a friend of, you know, he was like a friend of the family, so to speak, anything like that. And apparently it was the whole thing where he helped them get the safe or move the safe in Fast Five in Rio. So it's like, I had to backtrack. So I'm like, who is this guy and why are they in Dominican Republic?
Yeah, I mean, it's this magic man with everyone with machine guns where Paul Walker can set up a FBI tapping station from 1983. I mean... That was one thing we kind of blew over when we were talking about Fast and the Furious, was basically when she says Paul Walker has set up shop in the garage. He's got like a walkie-talkie and two closed-circuit TVs, and that was about all.
Yeah, of all the things to talk about in that franchise, I'm like...
Yeah, I know.
Just slip through the cracks.
Yeah, it was just like, well, okay, just whatever. Just let him do his thing. But immediately just jumps back into the bullets. So, but yeah, that's just crazy for a move. That's crazy for a franchise that started off with, I can't even do the math that quick, but $38 million up to a budget of $179 million? $190 million budget?
Yeah, 15-year-old franchise that's not is when we're not talking about like Star Wars or James Bond or like something from a comic book. We're talking, you know, it started off from a article in a magazine about street racing.
And survived Tokyo Drift. Which, in all right, looking back, and I know this, we're all over on this one, but looking back, does Tokyo Drift get better when you watch it? Or is it that the other one, it was like you appreciate it more because it allowed the other movies to be crazy?
Okay, if you watch, and I was explaining this to my wife, if you watch Tokyo Drift, if you watch like the movies in order, like timeline, like story-wise timeline, then Tokyo Drift comes off a lot better than it does if you just watch it. Like, because they've been showing it on like one of the HBOs. They've been showing that in Fast 6 for like the past month, and I've been watching it. It's kind of, you know, it's one of those things I hate, that whole, you know, the white guy in a foreign culture, and he's gonna get the girl, and he's gonna learn how to do the style better than everybody else, and everybody's gonna teach him to become the chosen one crap,
Yeah, Last
you
Samurai.
know.
It's classic Last Samurai.
Manifest Destiny movies. But I like how it kind of like it's a Jap, like, you know how they say like it embraces the culture, like that's like a Japanese movie with this old hillbilly basically. And I think that's kind of the movie that kind of started, whereas, you know, you can be, what's the best way to say it, where it's not just, you know, the white guy type movie, like, you know, it's in the Fast and Furious. I need to see Too Fast, Too Furious. I still haven't seen that from beginning to end. And I do like that part, Tokyo Drift. I like the part how Han is just, you know, he's the cool guy, but it's not like he's, you know, the ninja fighting guy or all this stuff. He's just a cool dude that's just Asian. But he's got this whole like black cloud around him, and you couldn't really figure out why. If you watch the movies time wise, then his character makes, you know, makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, well, he was also Han was another was a character from another movie too, like totally separate. So, you know, in that it works, but it works without knowing that too, because I didn't know until just a few weeks ago. I don't know. All joking aside, though, it's like the success of this one. You can't discount the fact that Paul Walker died and that curiosity that people
Yeah,
have.
definitely that in the time frame, like, and it came out, like, if he didn't die and it came out last year, it would have did numbers. I mean, I don't think it would have done like the numbers it's doing now. Like this year, you know, like we talked about, you know, Paul Walker passed away in a car accident. Somehow they were able to, you know, change the storyline and make it fit, move the time frame, because usually that'd be a disaster, something like that. Like, we gotta postpone a movie. And not only that, it comes out in April and nothing else is like, and it basically had a must, you know, head start on everything else.
Yeah, that and that's the thing. That's when you were talking about how much more it'll make. There is nothing coming out this week. Ex Machina, which is just an art house sci-fi movie, that's unlimited release. The Age of Adeline, I had no idea. Something called Little Boy, The Water Diviner that has Russell Crowe that I haven't seen.
I saw a preview for that,
I haven't
so
seen one. And
I've seen one. I saw Sunday Matter for that.
let's see, Kurt Cobain, Montage of Heck, Adult Beginners, Blackbird, Kung Fu Killer. All right, well,
That's something.
the Forger. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so these are just all movies that come out, but not, you know, maybe not wide release.
Isn't Forger like a direct TV movie? I don't remember seeing a commercial for that when I was watching
Probably.
TV. John Travolta, he's still like art. So,
Oh,
yeah.
yeah, who knows? But yeah, so that's it. So I mean, this week there is no competition. Everyone pretty much stayed away from Fast and the Furious, and they're also. I feel bad for this little hot pursuit movie that looks pretty bad as it is, with Renee Witherspoon and or I'm sorry, Reese Witherspoon. Sorry.
Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, that comes out a week after Avengers.
Well, I figured they're gonna like, well, all the girls who's not in that comic book crap, go see this movie.
I don't
That's
know.
what I'm hoping.
Yeah, that comes out, and then Mad Max is out the 15th. So at least Mad Max they positioned, 2 weeks out from the Avengers at least. So, but since we're into this, I don't know, unless you got more to say about Fast and Furious, but I mean that's
Nice.
yeah.
What's been said, it has been said. Like,
Yeah.
just shaking my head at the success of this damn franchise. I know Vin Diesel probably rolling around in his money, waiting to do the next Riddick movie.
Yeah, and then just, I think we talked about it off air, but I jokingly said, obviously, don't wish this upon anybody, but what it's going to take for Furious 8, Fast and Furious 8, whatever they call it, to make more money than this one is for Vin Diesel to die during it. I mean, it sounds shitty, but he's the only other most important person.
Yeah.
I mean, Ludacris dies. Okay. You can get Jaden Smith to take his place.
Oh my God.
Or bring Nas back for them for the movies, But
No, I was just hoping no one dies doing their stunts because I didn't even, we had talked about like a lot of those stunts we were marveling about, they were actually really doing them with the
yes.
whole the save. And one of them, like Tyrese was,
Actually on the car.
yeah. How about that?
Well, your Tyrese Gibson, what else does he do except these movies?
Okay. Stuff that probably doesn't have him worry about dying.
Yeah, I mean, his career outside of these movies is waiting for the next script for the Fast and the Furious movie.
Yeah,
So,
that's
yeah, so
because
that
he.
pretty much does it.
Yeah, like I said, he's not doing the Transformer movies anymore,
Oh,
so.
I forgot he was even in those. I've tried to remove those, so. Well, what? Okay, so I guess the theme of the story of the show to begin with was, all right, here's a lot of cool stuff that you gotta wait for. Which cool one do you want to start with?
Star Wars.
All right, let's do it then. I don't like you called me a grump because I was like, now we gotta wait for it, but that was me pouting. Like that, the trailer gave us nothing. We have no plot. It's all everything you talk about is conjecture, speculation, and I'm like, all right, cool. And it says this Christmas. I'm like, that's not so far away. Yeah, it is. That's still 7 months away. And it was like, if the preview would have been half-assed, it would not half-assed, but half as cool as this, then it wouldn't have been that bad. But as a teaser trailer, it did its job perfectly. I don't know how to even approach it without just gushing about it and knowing that we're just gushing about a 2 minute and 15 second trailer.
Because it did. You know why? Because it looked like it was made by somebody who gets it. I mean, I don't always do that thing like, he cared, the guys care about it, George Lucas did, whatever. Like, George Lucas made it. It's his thing. Whatever. That we can people can spend other podcasts talking about what could have, should have, would have, next like that. Just the whole style is like, it feels like Star Wars, but an updated Star Wars. And it just felt right, the music, the imaging and everything like that. It felt like, Star Wars for us. And just the fact that I know people talked about how they were going to do movies after, the original story. But did you honestly ever thought you were going to actually see them? Not even before the whole prequel stuff. Like, even, and especially after the prequel stuff, like, it's money there, but it's kind of like, even if they make it, do you really want to see these old people running around and stuff like that? And boom, you see, Harrison Ford throwing on, the old uniform with Chewie. Says three words, and it's like five people posted. I saw the trailer. I didn't want to show emotion. I was going to get let down. Then Hound show up. I start crying.
Yep.
So that's why they laugh at me because, like, I saw like four or five different people all around the same time. So that's to tell you how the trailer hit people.
Yeah, I saw it. I was at work, and they said trailer's out now. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I start watching it, and the music hits. I'm like, oh, I'll go full screen with it. So I've got like my, what, 27 inch whatever monitor at work, full screen HD. And I'm watching this. I'm like, this is really badass. And then they do the voice, the Luke's voiceover. And it was like, oh, wow. And I'm like, is that really, like, was that really Luke's voice? And I started trying to, like, afterwards got skeptical, but I'm like, was that really Luke's voice? And I'm like, okay, this is from Return of the Jedi with him talking to Leia. And then they show the metal hand hit R2-D2's head, and I'm like, oh, Luke's got a metal hand? Like, wait a minute. And then it goes to the new people, and I'm like, okay, this is fine. And then when it starts showing Millennium Falcon, I was like, oh, wow, cool. I don't, I think if the trailer ends there, you may not be getting the enthusiasm out of it. But then when it goes black and all of a sudden you just hear Harrison Ford with his little grizzled voice now, and it says Chewie, and it shows him, I immediately got chills, my eyes started watering, and I just put my hands in the air, like going, like almost like a hallelujah pose. It's like frozen watching it. And he goes, we're home, and it just hits, and I was like, holy shit. Immediately jumped up, ran over to my buddy Juan at work's desk. I was like, did you see the trailer? Did you see the trailer? He's like, what are you talking about? I ran back to my desk, messaged it to him so he can watch. All of a sudden, you see him pop up over his cube. Like, dude, that looks good. And I'm like, yeah, it looks exactly how it's supposed to look. And I proceeded to watch it like four more times in a row, expecting something different. But yeah, I mean.
It was just badass. Like the whole, and then like it showed enough where you don't know what's going on, but you know something's going on. And you know, just the little things, like you see Oscar Isaac pop up for 4 seconds.
But
That's it.
and I think what you're getting at with like it's made by someone or it's like a star, it's a movie for us. It looks like the old ones did. Like, and that was George Lucas's intent with these old ones. Like, they were supposed to be, not gritty. I don't know what word I'm looking for all of a sudden, but they're very pulpy. So they all had like stationary shots. You had not crude, but you had very stagnant shots on with everything else supposed to be the interesting part. So you, like when you see was it Oscar? I always get him and another guy confused. It's Oscar Isaacs, that's his name?
Yeah.
All right. You see him, and it's the same shot, it's the same camera angles in that from like Empire Strikes Back when they're in the snow speeders. You know, the one guy gets caught, but it's always cameras like positioned where like their knees or crotch would be shooting up at him. And I think another large part beyond that is like the wipes. The stormtrooper guy, if he even is one.
You talking about the one in black?
Yeah, the black guy, whatever his
You
name
know,
is.
that's rumored. That's supposed to be what's her face, Gwendolyn Christie from Game of
Oh,
Thrones.
no. I meant the actual black stormtrooper guy.
That's what I'm talking about.
No. The black dude that was in the stormtrooper gear.
Okay. That's what
I don't know his name. So I've read that same thing, that old Brienne of Tarth is supposed to be the badass looking stormtrooper. Which that would be quite a coup. So, but yeah, it had everything that you wanted, and it had just enough to keep you going back to look. But I think this is nothing new, I'm sure. The sound of Star Wars movies, like the way ships fly, or not, well, the way they make sounds as they fly, the way a laser bolt, laser blast, whatever, carries out, the way a ship zooms through the scene, all of that sound is so specific to those movies. And the music that goes along with it, like what music you choose here and there, even if it's the same thing, it still seems new. And you have to have that to have a successful movie. So that's why, and I know this is such a picky thing with how bad the movie was anyways, but like Phantom Menace, the music, they used different music for the end and that, and it was like they had like a chorus singing, and I was like, this isn't part of the Star Wars stuff. Like the music doesn't have people singing it. This doesn't make sense. Especially in Return of the Jedi when they did the remake version and they had a musical number in Jabba's Palace.
Yeah, I'm glad I skipped that.
Saw every one of them. So
yeah, like I think the only remake I've seen was Star Wars. I have not watched the remastered versions of the other two, and I'm glad I haven't. That way I don't have to complain about them.
Watched every single one. I even saw the Hayden Christensen.
I did.
Anakin Skywalker in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Yep. Boy, did that not go over well in the movie theater.
I bet. It was he about like go to hell, Lucas.
It was a total like. Just look around. We're looking at each other like, what the hell was that? Like they took out that old dude. Like I didn't even know who that actor was. I've never seen him again. I mean, he's probably one of the grips or something. It's like, hey, the Marlon Brando didn't show up, so you get to be in the movie now. But and I just think that I think that's another thing that it's gotten right is it sounds and it feels just by the camera shots. In the large scope of that land speeder going across with the far shot was reminiscent of like New Hope with Luke. You know, they showed the far shot of Luke and Ben and R2-D2 like going across the desert. But yeah, it nailed every single thing you wanted.
Yeah. You know what people want to want for Christmas? That damn droid.
Why is everyone going crazy? It's cool.
You know why?
Looking, but...
Because one, I won't tell you exactly why. One, it's cute. I mean, you just look at it and it's just like I'm not into cute things. You know, I'm old and I'm a curmudgeon just like you. Not as much as you, but I can look at it. I'm like, if I was little kids are gonna like that. And the fact that it's, you know, a practical effect, like they actually made that to do that. And yeah. And they're talking about trying to make, like, have the toys actually do that. Like, yeah, that's people gonna be stabbing each other at Christmas. The fact it's coming out at Christmas.
Well, they need to release it at Thanksgiving then. Mm-hmm. We've had 2 years straight with no deaths on Black Friday, and that's garbage. We need to step it back up in this country.
Yeah.
So, since you mentioned that droid, and I mentioned R2-D2. And I know that they didn't show Leia at all, but she is in it. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really show Luke at all. I mean, independent on your perspective.
Yeah.
They didn't show C-3PO at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's in this, right?
Yeah, he's in it. All right. No, he's in it. There's a lot of people in it they didn't show. Like, some of the new people, they didn't show or anything. I mean, you don't need...
No, you don't.
Say it. Yeah, you can always save it. It's kind of like... I'm sure the next trailer, the last trailer, will have all the major people.
I know this will never happen. That's the last trailer I want to see. But I know I cannot watch them, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would be the most ballsy thing they could do, is have no more. You got it back in April, and just, we're not going to tell you anything about what this movie is about. You just have to go see it. Because the trailer sort of gives you hints at what things are about. I'm figuring that, and you don't have to tell me if I'm right or not. But what I'm guessing from the movie is, it looks like the Empire or some offshoot of the Empire's, you know, fighting back, or instead of the Empire, they just took their place, and then. Somebody must have found Luke/Anakin's old lightsaber from the fight in Cloud City, because that's the lightsaber it is. Unless they created a perfectly new one from that looks exactly like.
How? It's Cloud City where it landed on a bird?
Here's the thing. If you go back and watch Empire Strikes Back, all right, when he gets his hand cut off, Luke falls, and we're going to ignore the part. He just falls this time into silence. When he lands, the lightsaber is there. So when the door opens and he falls out, It actually hits the top of the Millennium Falcon. Now, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. I haven't watched it in a while. And but then, I know the lightsaber's there when the thing opens.
And then what the Millennium Falcon, or the Millennial Falcon, as someone else called it, accident.
I hope you're just mishearing that. Because if not, Kevin's in for a long day tomorrow.
I think they said it and they caught themselves and fixed it, but...
Because, I mean, does the Millennial Falcon only work when mom and dad are out of the house? And you just stay at home all day complaining about how bad things are when everything's given to them? Does a Millennial Falcon stand outside for the newest iPod or the iPad watch or whatever that crap is? Just, or listen or try to convince you that the... oh, my God, I knew I was going to fuck this up. Oh, well. But what's the one white guy band, the Irish band that everyone thinks is Mumford and Sons? The Millennium Falcon just plays I will follow or I will wait for you the whole time, just thumping beats. It's just crap. The Millennial Falcon hasn't worked a day in its life, but wants everything given to it.
I'm glad you got that out your system.
Fucking idiots.
Okay, well, then I guess it can make that makes sense. I thought it just when it fell out, it just fell out into the sky when Luke held on and it just dropped somewhere.
Okay,
but I hadn't seen it in a while. All
right, but here's the thing. Sorry about the Millennial Falcon. Broke my train of thought. Mm-hmm. They show in the preview somebody went and got Vader's helmet.
Yeah.
So is it all that far fetched that somebody went to Coruscant and decided to find Anakin's lightsaber as well?
Yeah, sure.
So
none of that's going on for 20, 30 years, however the time frame is. So
yeah, I mean, you know, the universe is a big place, but if someone's that bored and get away with it. But yeah, I mean, and that's what I got from the movie is there's some other threat. Luke apparently is hanging out with R2-D2 by himself. Leia's, I think it's Leia giving the lightsaber to her daughter. And then, because I think the kids are probably Han and Leia's kids somehow.
They've been real dodgy about that.
Yeah.
People are wondering, is it going to be like the comics where the kids, and they like that crack don't even count anymore. So you'll see in December.
Yeah. But, well, they're not gonna, unless there's some weird thing with Chewie and Leia's kids.
I love the one fan theory was that Black Stormtrooper that's always sweating every part of the trailer, no matter what he has on, that's Leia and Lando's kid when Han was frozen.
What?
I had heard that from more than one person, and I've laughed, and I've read it from different ways.
Wait. The black guy that was a stormtrooper, or the black armored stormtrooper?
No, the black guy that was a stormtrooper that ends up, the girl. That's Leia and Lando's kid back when Han was on ice.
Wow, that's just, if so, which is not, that's dirty. Wow.
Now I know it's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It ain't no way in hell you go. How you gonna pass? Well,
now I don't know much about genetics either, but Lando was kind of a light-skinned black dude. So, and Leia, as far as I could tell, was white as can be. So they wouldn't be making a darker kid, right?
Well, genetics are a funny thing because I've seen somehow it can happen. Let's just put it that way. I've seen some things where it's kind of like, was it some X-Men involved type thing when it comes to genetics and complexion? So, and we are talking about the Force.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I started laughing. We're talking about a movie where the guy with a robot hand is talking to his robot, and somebody went and dug up a lightsaber a lightsaber. There, I should just stop right there. So anything's allowed to happen, I guess.
As long as it makes sense in the story.
Yeah,
That'd be hilarious.
It's always funny though. You know, it's not. That's not what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's always funny to hear like people's issues like rise up on something like that. Like, why would you even think that?
Because people. Okay. People are people, first of all. And then when you care about like the whole genre thing, people care about a lot. Star Wars brings out a lot of emotion, to put it nicely. And people are so excited about it, and you know, they probably watched the trailer 40, 50 times, and then they want to put their own stuff. What could it be? Could it be this? Could it be that? And they, you know, if you don't tell them the story, they'll try to, you know, like we talk about wrestling, they'll try to book their own story just from anything. Oh, he looked at him this way. It might mean this. I'm like, just relax. You're going to tore yourself in a knot. Just trying to, yeah.
I don't know. And the thing is, and especially with this works the wrestling too, is you come up with your own ideas. And then you're like, oh yeah, that works perfectly. And then when it doesn't happen, even though what's on the screen in front of you is perfectly fine, it's good, you just go, this doesn't make any sense. This is stupid. Because you've built up your ideas what's going to happen. So, yeah.
I'm just glad we don't have any more of this. How they got a black stormtrooper? The emperor wasn't liberal? At least that talk died down. So
the whole thing with me was the stormtroopers is all supposedly all the same guy.
That's how it used to be.
Yeah, so that's what I'm wondering is if
but that changed by the time the other Star Wars movies started.
That's what I was figuring was they started recruiting everybody and got rid of the clones.
Yeah.
So that makes total sense then. But yeah,
they took our jobs. That's what they say.
Well, yeah, I don't understand. I always go back to this. I don't get it. So, all right, you get a Star Wars. You haven't had, and going back to your question, no, I never thought they'd make these again. Not with especially once the old crew got old, and. So you finally get a new Star Wars movie. You know, they say it's going to be more movies, whatever. But you finally get a Star Wars movie. Dude pops up on the screen, and the first thing you think about is, they put a black guy in the movie? They put a black guy in the movie. Instead of going, okay, what's next? I don't get it. It doesn't make a lick of sense. Especially because it's not like there haven't been black people in these movies anyways.
Yeah, they forgot Billy Dee Williams was in this movie, or Samuel L. Jackson. So you could be you know what it is? You can be a certain role, but if you're in a role where you're not, and I have the quotation marks, air quotates, if you're in a role where you're not supposed to be in that role, then people lose their damn minds. And that's how it's always been.
Okay, when they put Samuel Jackson in the prequels, I didn't like that because he just didn't fit. I didn't. They were like Samuel Jackson. I'm like, okay, he should have been a bad guy. You don't see Samuel Jackson as like this nice, even-tempered guy like a Jedi is supposed to be. It was the weirdest thing to me.
But it was funny because he was trying to be even-tempered, but he was like an asshole in those movies.
Then he goes out like a bitch too. Mm-hmm. He's like, "No, Anakin!" Boom, there he goes. Like, oh, good thinking. You couldn't figure out how to save yourself, jackass. But, it's just that train of thought. I don't understand. But you can accept a movie with a girl with green skin, or and basically a head with malleable horns, or the hammerhead. An alien, you know, you can accept aliens, period. You can accept the fact that they go past the speed of light. But yet a black dude pops up on screen and you lose your shit.
You don't belong in there. How come he don't got a mop at the cantina?
Yeah. Who? Hey, boy, how'd you get out of your shit day shift? Cleaning up after old Ben, cutting arms off. All right, since we're kind of on a divisive issue on that, let's talk about the Batman Superman preview.
Speaking of divisive,
this looks cool as hell.
Yeah, but it's hilarious how many. This is one of those people where I saw the bootleg version you showed, and it's kind of funny, but in Portuguese, you kind of not gonna get an idea. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of dark and different. And
real
the
dark,
voiceover
yeah.
stuff, kind of like, you know, so they go this route. And then Ben Affleck shows up and he, see, you know what I like? He saw me on the movie and he didn't say a word because he played Bruce Wayne. Like, Bruce Wayne is a mad, he's a madman.
Yeah. Well, the problem though is on the Portuguese version, as soon as Ben Affleck shows up, it gets blurry. I was losing my mind. I was like, is this my computer doing this? What the hell's going on? And then the next scene you see him and you see the suit, and then it's him in the Dark Knight, which is a contentious suit, actually. I don't think it's actually from Dark Knight Returns. It looks more like the Kingdom Come armor that he was wearing. I know what story they're supposed to be going with, but it looks more like the Kingdom Come one. But yeah, it's another wait and see.
Some people are saying, like, oh, look, it's Lego Batman.
All right, that's kind of funny, actually.
They put a picture, especially when he had the armor helmet, and they put a picture next to it. I'm like, because the eyes were glowing. I'm like, yeah, I can see it.
Oh, no. I don't care. This preview was still cool. I mean, it's got every Zack Snyder trope in it, though. I mean, everything's kind of dark. Like, all the metallic, it's all metallic. Everything's like a muted metallic color. You know, I love the bat suit reveal, though, with the little pointy ears. Affleck looks like a monster in the suit, like the regular suit.
Yeah,
I don't know a lick of what it's about, other than apparently Batman wants to beat the hell out of Superman for some reason.
Yeah, like basically Superman, you know, it was this hero, but some people don't like him. Well, some people like him, some don't. The whole statue with the false god on it, and you know, too much power corrupts, and devils don't come from the ground; they come from the skies above.
Yeah, nothing like being subtle.
Yeah, you got soldiers bowing down to him, and there in the Day of the Dead, just looking there, and you know, like, okay, so it's kind of like, you know, how would people react if this alien came on doing all this stuff? I guess it would be like, you know, something would be cool, and then Fox News would be talking this nonsense. So it would, like, it would make sense. You don't really hear movies talk about that, like the superhero movies, too much. You see it like bits and pieces, you know, in the Marvel movies, like, can we control this type of thing? But there's the whole mind, like, how would you react if a damn alien that could do all that just popped out of nowhere?
And especially when you had a bunch of other ones show up as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he you know, got rid of them all. But yeah, I like the theory. That's something Marvel doesn't do too much. Like, even in the Daredevil series, they always talk about the New York incident. But you don't. But like in all the movies, you haven't really seen much of a change in anything. So, I mean, I know they're in the movies. They can't afford to do that, really. But it seems like at least this movie seems to tackle it head on. And it's also, I'm sure, some of it is being manipulated by good old Lex Luthor, which you heard his voice in the preview.
Yeah.
But I thought it looked cool as hell. I was going to see it anyways, but now I really want to see it because I want to see what that bat suit does.
Yeah.
I want to see what Lego Batman does to him.
I just can't get, like, Ben Affleck's face. Like, he just got this...
Oh, he looks furious.
Pissed. Yeah, like, I'm just pissed. When they made that joke, like, oh, these Daredevil jokes.
Yeah. I'll show you.
Like, because all the other Batman movies, like, people play Bruce Wayne, is he, like, you know, kooky, an idiot, kind of like, you know, off-kilter doofus, and you didn't see any of that, like... Nah, you just saw somebody like, you know, who the hell is this man? And just hearing Batman say, you know, can you bleed? You would, like, or can you bleed or do you bleed?
Yeah, do you bleed? And he goes, you will. I was like, huh? Like, sign me up. But it was another one like, oh my god, this looks really cool. And then nothing. Like, you gotta wait till next year, actually, even further than Star Wars. So it's like, ah, oh, man.
And then I went online and I just wanted to hear the comments. And it was either, you know, people were into it or like, And like the suit was kind of too bulky. How's he gonna lift his arms to punch Superman? Or Ben Affleck, he was frowning too much. Like,
Okay.
get a damn.
Someone actually. Okay, so no one has a problem with the guy dressing up in a suit of armor, but the fact that the arms may not come up high enough is a problem. Like, you either have to accept everything in these sort of movies, or you don't accept it at all, and you just don't go see it. You got no problem with a guy flying? I mean.
It's a movie with a fucking alien.
A beautiful alien on top of that.
Yes. And you worry about, the Batmobile. I don't know if it's if the engine is strong enough to make that turn. It's like,
That was a real car, so yes, it could actually.
yes.
They filmed it in Detroit, and there was they remember they had all the Vine videos or whatever. I mean, I think people just are still stuck up on hating this movie, either because of Ben Affleck, which really just enough already, and then also because of Zack Snyder, because the guy's got a spotty track record.
See, I can get that part, the whole, you don't trust Zack Snyder, and especially if Christopher Nolan's not around to hold his hand. And the worry that we had was it's like they're trying to throw all this stuff in the one pot, and is he big enough to handle all this? We don't know how the movie's gonna turn out, but based on the little teaser that we had, it definitely is, I'm definitely intrigued. Like it has me interested because that's a definitely it's we talk about it's hard to do a good Superman movie because Superman is inherently boring, and and then you worry about DC. The whole thing is, well, you want jokes, go to Marvel. This is serious stuff. It's serious as a man with a cape whose secret identity is he throws on a pair of sunglasses and changes his haircut. Could be. So, but I'm definitely like seeing the trailer and seeing the route that they're going. I'm definitely intrigued to see the movie. So, mission accomplished.
And that's the thing. I think a lot of people just don't want. They have their formed opinion already, and no matter what's going to happen, it's going to be bad. Like, I don't know how they could have had a trailer for this movie other than to not make this movie, period, to where people would have been happy about it. Because, and I will admit, it is rather bleak looking. Even like the, oh boy, the themes of it are pretty bleak too. The world's worshiping him, but the other side doesn't, and it's going to cause a fight or war or whatever. And then you see the Marvel movies, and you got Ultron coming, and he destroys Cleveland again, and they move on to the next big movie. But I mean, we don't know what the movie's about. The whole Batman versus Superman thing could be the beginning of the movie, and that's it. And then they get down to your usual superhero stuff of, oh, why were we fighting each other? But I don't understand why people just immediately. I read the comments just to see who's going to be the first one to say something bad. And it's usually the first or second one. And one is like, why bother commenting on it then? If you're not going to go see it, then who cares?
It's the internet. That's
Yeah.
the thing is people, they love having their, that's the one thing I'll give the internet credit. Because before, you had to make an effort to hear how ignorant people were. Like you had to kind of search for it or be around long enough. With the internet, all you gotta do is log on. People have no problem showing, either they show a hyper version of themselves that's just, flaw free or over exaggerated like a wrestling character, or they're the complete asshole self. And with the type of movies that we tend to watch, you have these, as they're called, hyper intelligent types that overthink everything, and there's this sense of ego where my voice is the most important voice. And like you talked about before, if they don't do the story that I've dreamed up in my head, then they're fucking idiots.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing. This is gonna be stupid. It's gonna be terrible. It's like, well, all right, then why don't you write something? I mean, and I know that sounds contrite to say, well, you just write it yourself. It's never gonna get made probably.
I
But at
love
this.
that statement because writer say like somebody came out, I forgot who it was, like some showrunner say like you think this shit is easy? If it was so damn easy, you be doing it.
Well, that's what I think it was Eric said something on Twitter on our Stunt Granny account, and about the writers' room. Like, this is the best the writers could come up with. And for some reason, I think it was Dave Lagana was paying attention to us that day for some reason. And he basically said, he's like, you're not in the writer's room. You don't know what ideas come up out of there. And you don't know what it takes to get an idea through. So him and Eric were going back and forth. And it gave a little perspective to it, to where, you know, you're being an asshole about something, you know, just because it's Twitter. That's all it's good for. But then to have someone, like, actually explain, like, all right, you've got all these ideas, but only so much gets through. You're on a committee. And it's the same thing with these movies. That's why you don't have one writer per movie anymore.
Yeah.
So, and especially, when did The Dark Knight Rises come out? What, 3 years ago? 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now we're getting another iteration of Batman.
And but you never gonna see, here's the thing. When Man of Steel made the amount of money it made, and it was kind of like, you know, it did good, but it didn't do what we wanted to do, and Marvel's kicking our ass, we got to do something. You knew this was going to happen. Like, you knew, okay, I know people that saw the Batman movies, and I know the last one was kind of polarizing, but the hell with it. We got to, you know, because people love Batman. And just the whole thought of, you know, that's the thing that cracks me up about it. If you would tell me that you have a motion picture and you had Batman versus Superman, that's the type of stuff people talked about back in the 80s and 90s. Wouldn't it be cool if you had a movie with Batman versus Superman? And if you were lucky, it might be something that showed up like on TNT. It's like some Sunday afternoon movie. You have this tentpole blockbuster that's had, and you're not just pulling about like, yeah, Ben Damn Affleck, he doesn't have to be Batman. Like, his career is doing just fine. So, yeah, the fact that you're getting him to be Batman, and he's willing to jump in that boat after all the shit he dealt with Daredevil, and he had no reason to go through that again, and he's doing it anyway, and yeah, I don't like how he's looking, and it's just...
Well, especially with the wounds from Daredevil being ripped open in the last week, we're going, oh my god, this is so much better than the Ben Affleck one. You know, he sucked, man. He was terrible in that movie. I was like, how long ago was that movie?
People will never forget. That movie was...
I still want to see the... I want to see the director's cut.
I mean, it's longer, it's better. But the problem is, it's just... Daredevil don't work as a movie. And if you're going to do it, it's got to be an R movie. And it's kind of like that whole... try to have your cake and eat it too. Some characters cannot be PG-13. And Daredevil is one of them. So they tried to do it. Like, the movie, you know what the problem with the movie is? The everything makes sense in theory, but how it's done is just off. Like, the whole, you know, like, you would think the storyline is fine, the action's okay, and it's just a bunch of little things that's off, but it's a whole bunch of little things. And then you just have a movie where it doesn't fit. You know, Ben Affleck doesn't look comfortable being Daredevil, like doing the action stuff. You know, Jessica Garner, you know, yeah, but she got the costume a little right. Like, beside Michael Clark Duncan and Colin Farrell, everybody else is kind of like, man, I don't know what I'm doing. I know I'm doing something. It's just a little off. When everyone's a little off, that's what you have.
Yeah, the Daredevil thing, when it came out as a movie, I was like, all right, this could work as like a one-off thing. I think you could do it as a movie now. I think the correct people are in place. But now they've got the TV show, so forget it. There's no point in doing it. It's those small characters. And I think we've mentioned this with Arrow before. But these small, like, popular, not like mainstream popular, but these popular characters who are smaller will work way better on the TV. They're just because you can take your time. Like, and I know I'm only on episode 8. Yeah, we're on episode 8 of Daredevil, just to take our time with it. But it's working good. And that's exactly how it could. I thought Batman, honestly, would work better as a TV show than it would as a movie.
Batman is one of the ones that you can do both because the storyline is simple and it fits. So it's something that you can do. Like, I always thought that, you know, X-Men, if it had the budget wise, would always be better as a TV show than a movie, because there's just so much stuff. It's hard to fit like an ensemble thing that's 2 hours, all the stuff
right.
going. It's easy to do certain things, like, you know, Superman always works better as a movie than a show. Like, how many times, oh, he loses his powers, oh, he gains his powers. Like, how many times can you tell that story? And then it's hard to compare because, you know, oh, the Daredevil TV show. I'm like, no, this is a damn, I don't know what the rating is on Netflix, but beside Punisher Warzone, I had never seen a comic show, a comic anything this damn violent.
I know we talked about it. We didn't talk about it on the show, but I did remember we were talking about it and saying I was shocked about the violence, because you see that Marvel banner, you know, it says Marvel Entertainment Studios, whatever. It's the same thing you see before Thor, Avengers, Iron Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain America, where you have bloodless violence. So. The kid gets, in the beginning, Matt Murdock gets, he didn't get hit by a car, did he? I can't remember.
No, he pushes somebody. You see him on the ground.
Yeah, he saves an old man. Nice. The guy's on his way out anyway, dumbass. If you're going to save a young person, not an old person, it doesn't make any sense. Beyond that, yeah, that's right. And then he gets the chemicals in the eye. And even then, that was pretty rude. I mean, you know, you saw the scarring around the eye immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, and then I think the first thing, like, you know, blood. All right, good. They showed blood. All right. And then they showed him break someone's arm. Or it was either arm or a leg, one of the two. And I just went, whoa, wait a minute. That they really show him, like, it actually broke? Like, good grief. It was just a surprise. Because you don't get that. I mean, Captain America and them fight all the time. They beat people, nothing bad ever happens.
Yeah, like somebody gets shot, but you don't see blood dripping down the outfit or anything like that. It's, oh, I got a flesh wound. Let me walk it off. It's not like you see Captain America beat somebody to death with his shield. Yeah, so.
That's the interesting. It's kind of funny you brought that up, because in Daredevil, he won't, like, as far as I'm seeing so far, he won't kill anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he says it's a war. And then you got Captain America, who was flat out shooting and killing Nazis and Hydra and all that. And he doesn't call it a war, but he's an actual soldier. So it's just an interesting thing. Like, you've got your dark character that won't kill anybody, but you've got your sunshiny all-American character who will.
Yeah, they all. It's funny how they always play Captain America. Like, Nick Fury made something like, you know, I've read your files, how I used to do back in the day. Y'all wasn't, you know, y'all wasn't the nicest of people. Like, he got the red, white, and blue, but you see them, they run around shooting people, blowing people up, and stuff like that. But it's waving a flag in the background with nice music, so it's cool.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, he was always a super soldier, and the pouches and gun came a little bit. You know, that's more of a modern thing. Well, they brought it back for the modern stuff, because the old stuff, he had it. Well, sort of Batman, for that matter.
But yeah, I want to see that Batman.
The old days, just popping villains. Yeah, I mean, so like I said, I don't know if Daredevil gets to that point or not, but I know we were
going to watch him, and I'll just say that.
Yeah,
so.
I've been enjoying that show way more than I expected.
Yeah.
So. Hopefully they keep it up. I mean, I know I wanted to talk about it, but we're out of time. We'll have to get into the whole Marvel TV thing for the next show.
Okay.
Because we have no new movies coming out unless they drop some preview for. I don't know. They showed Ant-Man, which we didn't get to, and then Jurassic World came out, but.
And Fantastic Four. So.
I knew there was another one. I forgot. But that's pretty much what that warranted. So we can talk about it next time, I guess. But I definitely want to get into the Marvel TV, and I think we can save like the DC TV for once the season's over. But I will say, I don't know if you agree with that, but that Arrow last week was one of the best in the series.
Yeah, it was just kind of, it reminded me of season two.
Yes.
And I think the thing that's been bothering me was I've been comparing season three to season two, And it's not like season three's been a bad season, but the season two was just so great. This felt kind of like, you know, they're just doing stuff and it kind of fell off. Like this one, yeah, I didn't expect, like, the last 5 minutes, the last 10 minutes was out of, I was not expecting that at all.
No. I mean, it's, if you haven't seen it, too bad, it's a week ago. But yeah, when they said Roy, when they showed Roy get stabbed in prison, and then they flat out said he was dead, I was, that's when I think I messaged you, saying, yeah, hey, you're at work, right? Because I was like, holy shit. And then by the time I got done hitting you up, they revealed it was, you know, just a ruse. But then having Thea get stabbed, and now they're taking her to, was it Nanda, whatever.
Pakistan.
Yeah. Not a Pakistan. That's it. So, but yeah, but that made me, because I thought Flash was a little awkward last week. But then Arrow kind of saved it. So we'll see. But we can get into that next time. We got to get out of here. All right. So listen, thanks for listening. We will be back next week with, you know, number 26. With hope maybe we'll remember to talk about the stuff we just mentioned. We don't know. But you can follow us on StunkRanny on all social media. Email StunkRanny@gmail.com. StunkRanny is the website. StunkRanny is also our Facebook page. Like I said, any social media. So I'm out of here. You guys have fun and talk at you next week.
Okay, for Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi. May the force be somewhere else. We are out.